and talk about a few more things. And again, this study and this book, Take It Personally, is designed to help you to feel better and more comfortable about witnessing and telling others about Jesus. That's the whole goal. By the way, the church is going to grow as people get saved. And that's just the way God does it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, and then 15 are the verses we're going to read. Amen. All right. So if you're there, I want you to read that with me. That way I don't have to read it by myself. Amen. All right. Here we go. Starting in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And skip down to verse number 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray now that you would use the time that we put into learning the truths of this book, Lord, and that we can be a blessing and encouragement to others. And Lord, that we can go out with confidence, go out with boldness, Lord, go out handling the word of God and holding forth the word of truth to those that truly need it. Help us have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. You may be seated. So as we're talking about this theme of this year, standing and withstanding, ready for battle, and equipped. This thing about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is so very vital. We left off on page 29 in your book there, 29, and we began to talk about some things that are practical helping tips. Practical tips. And one you saw was carry a New Testament with you. Two was go with a partner. Three, always be polite, courteous, and thoughtful of others. Four, never criticize another person's beliefs. Five was never talk alone with a person of the opposite sex in the house. And that's where we stopped at. And by the way, in this day and age, you've got to be so careful with that. People will bring an accusation on you quicker than you can shake a stick. Amen. So it's always good when you go with somebody else, because now they are not just your prayer partner, but they are there to vouch for you and to watch your back. Amen. So when an accusation comes up, there's two. By the way, in every court of law, there's got to be a what? A witness. Amen. And so it always behooves us to make sure that we do have somebody with us. So you never want to go inside a house with someone of the opposite sex. And so that's always a no-no. Amen. That's not good. And I mentioned this last time. Somebody may see you go in alone or come out alone, and the person may have a bad reputation. Amen. Or a husband may come and find you there on the couch sharing the Bible with his wife. Now, that's not going to look good at all. Amen. So you never want to go into a house with the opposite sex. Now, outside on the porch and you're in public and everybody can see, amen, that's a total different story. Amen. But behind closed doors where nobody can see, you never want to do that. That's why it's always good to go with a partner. Number six says this: never talk to a young child without a parent present. Now, you can always give a child a track, but you don't want to give, you don't want to be caught talking to a little 9-year-old privately. That's not going to be good for the parent. If I catch somebody talking to my little faithy poo privately to the side, that's not going to be good. Amen. And so you never want to get a child by themselves and talk to a child alone. The best bet, what I do when I see a child come out there, and I'll say, hey, little Johnny, is your dad at home? They may say yes, they may say no. If dad is not there, I say, is your mom at home? Yes or no, whatever the case may be. Can you see if they can come out? I'm Pastor Dawson from Shining Light Baptist Church, and we're in the neighborhood inviting people out. And little Johnny may go in, and dad doesn't want to come out, or dad's busy, or mom's busy, or whatever the case may be. And so I'll just give him a track. I'll say, well, could you let him know that I would love to have you guys in? And I always try to give them a kid's track. And always have a kid's track to give them, amen, because now little Johnny feels good. And I say, little Johnny, we've got this and this and this and this and this. Let your parents know. You take that in there, and normally great things can happen, amen. You know, why don't we want to talk to young children without the parent there? What's the danger in that other than what I said? What's the danger?
The parents might ask him something
Exactly. They can misconstrue things. They can maybe think that you said something that you didn't say, or get something confused that you did say, but you didn't mean it that way. There's a lot of problems there with children just because of where their minds are at and where their minds go. So you want to be careful to just pretty much limit it to getting your parents there, giving them a track, tell them a little bit about your church or something like that. But the main thing is getting mom and dad involved with something like that. And so especially is the men want to be careful to talk to young girls by themselves. If there's a little girl out there, stay far away. Stay far away. Give them a track. That's about it. But why do we want to stay far away from little girls? The obvious should be just jump out at us. Amen. People may get the wrong impression. So you never want to talk to a young girl by yourself, especially if there's two guys talking to one little girl. Amen. So always be careful of those things. The best bet is to get your mommy, get your daddy. Here's a track, or invite them out or something like that. So you always got to be careful when you're dealing with children, because children have been exploited so much these days that it's just not even funny. Amen. And so number seven, always seek to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be a good ambassador for Christ and to be a good representative of your church. Go over to Ephesians 5:18 for that one. You're still in Ephesians right now. Somebody read Ephesians 5:18 for me. Most of us should be able to quote that one. Who's got that one? Go ahead, Rose. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit, okay? Always seek to be led of the Holy Spirit, to be a good ambassador for Christ and a good representative of your church. By the way, when you and I are out there, the Holy Spirit wants to tell you exactly how to handle the visit. We just have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And remember that we're representing Christ. We're representing Shining Light Baptist Church. And you're representing your pastor. And you're representing each other. The last thing you want to do is go out there and do something, and then somebody go back to work, and then they say, oh, Shining Light Baptist Church was at my house, and they did such and such. And you say, ooh, I'm a member of that church. And that'll be totally embarrassing. Totally embarrassing. So make sure that you do what you do to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. The verse says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We want to make sure that our lifestyle is such one that's filled with the Spirit of God, that when we go out there, we can do what we need to do. But again, be careful of the opposite sex. Be careful with children, especially little girls. Amen. People are very protective over their little daughters, and they should be. Amen. So just be aware of that. If little Frank comes from behind the house and sees you talking to his little daughter, he might come with a shotgun. Amen. You don't want that. Amen. All right. So that is going to conclude that portion of that chapter. Turn over to the next page there, page 31, Establishing New Christians. Establishing new Christians, because one of the things that you want to do is make sure that you give them some helpful tips before you leave them. By the way, just for a show of hands, how many in here you have been discipled? How many that are here you have been discipled? Look at that. 100%. 100% of the adults have been discipled. You know why you're here right now? Because you were discipled. That's why you're here, because you're a disciple. I could give that same thing on Sunday morning, and I bet you 50% of the hands would not go up. And those same 50%, guess where they're not going to be on Wednesday night and Sunday night? Right here. Discipleship is so key to a young Christian when they get saved. If they're not discipled, they're not going to learn faithfulness. They're not going to learn Bible memorization. They're not going to learn reading their Bible. They're not going to learn the things that they ought to learn about giving. They're not going to learn the importance of the local church. And so discipleship is key. 100% of the adults here had their hands up, and it's because you were discipled. That's why you're here. Amen. And so establishing new Christians is part of that program that we want to talk about. Amen. And by the way, discipleship does wonders. I was talking to the couple that was here on a Sunday, Michelle and Terry. And they talked about how one of the guys had God sent out from the church there, took them under their wing and discipled them. And they would get together once a week. And they said, man, it was just a relationship that was built up. And over time, of course, he went out to go plant a church. But there was a relationship that was just there that they could talk to this guy and ask him questions and rely upon him and man, just work with them. And so now 20 years later, they're still in the same church. You know why? They were discipled. They were discipled. Brother Bruner left here, has no accountability, has no one to keep track on him. Guess where he's at? In church. You know why? He was discipled. The preacher even called me up and he said, do you think he can teach? I said, of course he can teach. He said, well, you think he could be a good teacher for me? I said, of course he could be a good teacher for you. He said, how do you know? I said, he taught for me. Amen. Are you teaching yet, brother? Not there yet. Amen. All right. He's still feeling you out. Amen. Now, why did Bruner leave here and do that? He was a disciple. So it doesn't matter where a disciple person goes. When they get plugged in, what are they going to do? They're going to serve. Why? That's what we do. Brother Scott and Sister Scott have no accountability at all. They can go where they want to go. Guess where they're at on Wednesday night? Church. Discipleship is so key when somebody gets saved. And when they don't get saved, the opposite shows. They only come Sunday morning. And that's all they get. And then they get mad at me because I preach a salvation message. While you preach about is getting saved because you only come on Sunday morning. That's all you're going to hear. Amen. Try coming Sunday school or Sunday night. Amen. By the way, one of the first things that the devil wants to do to somebody when they get saved is to make them doubt. He wants them to doubt, first of all, that they're saved. The second of all, he wants them to doubt the decision that they just made to trust the Bible. And then third of all, he wants them to doubt the place that they went, that church, because they felt so convicted. That obviously must be something wrong with that place. And so Satan is going to do everything in his power to make sure that they get doubtful of their salvation, get doubtful of that Bible, and get doubtful of that place. Why? Because if I can keep you away from those three, guess what? You're going to be an unshaky, a very shaky Christian. Amen. So when a person gets saved, they are dependent upon you and I to be cared for, protected, nurtured, and sheltered so that they can be able to grow as a new Christian. Notice the bottom of your page there. Early instruction is the blank there. Early instruction. Notice right above there, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The Bible says that we ought to go, teach, baptize and teach. So we go, we see them saved, we baptize them, and then we teach them what the Bible says. And by the way, if we're not going to teach them what the Bible says, then they're going to be lost. We got to teach them what the Bible says. Is it any good to them to teach them what we think? No, because what you and I think doesn't matter. But we got to teach them what the Bible says. And it tickled me, the young man here, Terry, his dad was a preacher. And then he got saved. Wow. And I said, brother, I said, that must have been tough. He said they alienated him. The whole family just alienated him. You got saved. And now you're going to say what you got is better than what we got. Yeah, because I got a relationship. Y'all got religion. And so they disowned him basically when he got saved. His dad was a preacher. Now, you would think that he would be a little bit more inquisitive and want to know what his son got. But they disowned him. And so it's tough for him. And to this day, I mean, they still have some estrangement going on there. And so the devil wants to make sure that it's tough for you when you become born again. By the way, the Bible says that you're a newborn Christian. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. By the way, the average Christian, when they first get saved, true or false, know how vulnerable they are. False. Just like the baby that's born does not know how vulnerable they are when they come out of the womb. I remember when G2 came out, Mrs. Dawson said, you follow them around because I don't want anybody to take my baby. The baby doesn't know they're vulnerable. They don't know that somebody can snatch them and take them off and they could be raised as Mr. Jones instead of Mr. Dawson. They don't have a clue. They're just there. Christians are the same way. When they're born, they are clueless as to how vulnerable they are to the devil. They just are. Now, that's no slam against them. It's just the truth. And so the same way a baby is clueless and has to be trained, the same way a Christian has to be trained. And that's why Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things. The book says it this way: Satan immediately works to undermine a new Christian's confidence in the gospel and the promises of God and in their decision to trust Christ. He tempts them to think that their old life was better and that it is impossible to live for Christ. He sends false teachers to draw them into cult teachings. By the way, as soon as me and Mrs. Dawson got saved, started telling everybody about Jesus Christ, every hound of hell came out of the woodwork trying to give us a piece of their religion. Oh, well, you need to come over here to this Mormon church. Oh, you need to come over to Jehovah's Witness. Oh, you need to come over here to this divine, whatever it is. Oh, you need to come over here. Oh, you need to come over to the Masons. Oh. We use the Bible, too. So la-di-da. Can you get me saved? Oh, well, that's something else. Amen. And so when the Bible talks about go ye therefore and teach all nations, that's what we're talking about. Amen. And so again, you guys are here because you were disciples. So let's go over to the next page and fill in a couple more blanks here. Talk about early instruction is needed. Early instruction is needed. Matter of fact, before we go over there, go to Acts 14, 21. That's one of the verses that you have there. Acts 14, 21. And let's read Acts 14, 21 and 22. All right. Who's there can read 20, 21 and 22 for me? Acts 14. Go ahead, Andrew, 21 and 22. Amen. Now, Paul speaking by experience. Remember, Paul got beat up. He got stoned and he was left for dead. Remember that? He got beat up. He got stoned. They thought he was dead. He got back up, went in the city. He went on to see some other saints. And guess what he did? He came right back to that same city. Why did he do that? He was concerned. He's concerned for the brethren. And so he came back confirming the souls, getting them established, so to speak, and exhorting them to continue the faith. Let him know, hey, it's going to be some tribulation. It's not going to be easy. And I'm sure Paul said, look at this lump I got right here. Remember, they thought I was dead. Look at this lump over here. And look at this bruise right here. They thought I was dead. I'm still here. Hey, it's going to be tough, but we can make it. We can get through this. Amen. And so Paul here giving them the encouragement to go back out through these same towns where he was beat up and stoned, return to the very city where these people persecuted him and beat up on him. Amen. And so that is very, very encouraging to see. Notice that word again, confirming the souls and exhorting them. Amen. So he's backtracked to build these guys up and to make sure they got established. The word confirm means to establish, basically, getting them settled in what they believe. Amen. And by the way, they had spiritual encouragement, support, instruction from Paul to get them grounded in the word of God. And so we want to make sure that we can get people built up and grounded so that they can do the work of the ministry. Amen. So to do that, first thing we got to do is give them assurance of their salvation. Amen. That's the first blank you got there on page number 32. Assurance of salvation. I'm going to give you these real quick and then we'll go over them just a little bit. Assurance of salvation. One, God promises to save all who call on him for salvation. God promises to save all who call on him for salvation. Number two, eternal life is forever. Eternal life is forever. How many of y'all, when you first got saved, you thought eternal life was only temporary until you sinned? I did. Now, by the way, you say preacher, but the word, people don't look at the words. They go by feelings. They go by feelings. They go by how they feel. So the word can say what it wants to say. Well, eternal life is forever. It's eternal. How long is eternal? Yeah, but I feel like, there you go. Never, ever, ever rely on your feelings. They will get you wrong. Go by what the word of God says. Is it eternal life? Is either eternal life or it's not. It's not probationary life. Amen. All right. Number three, being born again makes you part of God's family. God's family. And then on 33B, baptism. B, baptism. So assurance of salvation was A, B, baptism. Baptism is identification, number one. Baptism is identification. Number two, baptism is for every Christian. For every Christian. By the way, the longer it takes to get somebody baptized, the less the chances that they're going to eventually get baptized. They'll more than likely fall off to the wayside. Next page, 34, baptism should be by immersion. Baptism should be by immersion. Number four, baptism should take place soon after salvation. Baptism should take place soon after salvation. C, Bible reading and prayer. Bible reading and prayer. D, church attendance. Church attendance. By the way, a Christian needs to be in church the same way a baby needs to be inside the house. What's going to happen to the baby outside the house? Exposed to all sorts of elements. The Christian needs to be in the church to grow properly. Amen. All right, let's go back and let's talk about this just a little bit. Assurance of salvation. If you're like me, how many of y'all sinned shortly after you got saved? How'd you feel when you sinned? Awful, lost. Like whatever you just did, you got to go redo it. I got saved at about 2-ish in the afternoon. I went home and sinned about 3-ish in the afternoon and felt like I had to get saved all over again. Why? I didn't have assurance of my salvation. The person that led me to the Lord did not say, now you need to get this assurance of your salvation. They didn't do that right away. They didn't say, now you're still a sinner. They didn't tell me that. They didn't say, now, you know that this doesn't make you a perfect person. They didn't tell me that. I thought once I got saved, that was it. I wasn't going to sin no more. I was going to walk on water. Man, I was going to part the Red Sea. I mean, I was unstoppable. Then I drank that liquor, and I felt like I was the dirtiest scumbag in the world. And I thought, I got to get saved all over again. And then I didn't feel the same way I felt a couple hours ago, so I said, I must didn't do it right. I must have to get saved again back in the church. So I went to the garage to try to get saved in the garage. It didn't work. I went upstairs, didn't work upstairs. Went to the other room, didn't work. I dare not tell my wife because she's all excited. She's saved. I'm not going to tell her how bad I feel. Went back to church next Sunday, tried to do it again, raised my hand. I'm not saved. Preacher, you need to lead me to the Lord again. And it wasn't the same. What happened? Nobody told me that I was still a sinner and I was still going to sin, but I was still just as saved. I didn't get that part. Amen. The memo didn't come across my desk. So, notice what it says down there. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Immediately after the Christian gets saved, your Bible probably is already going to be at Romans 10:13. If it's still at 10:13, let them know, hey, look, if you called on the Lord, what are you? By the way, you never tell them that they are what? Saved. Because then they're going by your word. Well, Brianna told me I was saved. Ms. Dawson told me I was saved. Oh, really? Brianna told me she's going to give me $1,000 too. I ain't got that. Brianna said, never told him that, amen. And so you never tell a person that they're saved, amen. But if it's open to Romans 10:13, you can always take them right back there and say, now, let me show you something here, John. It says, now, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Did you just call on the Lord to save you? And if John says yes, you can say, then what does God say you are? He says, saved. Say, okay, who said that? Did I say that or did God say that? Oh, God say that, and you show them right in your Bible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God promises to save all who call on him for salvation. Now, you ask John, did you mean it with your heart? Were you truly repentant? Did you really mean it when you called on him? And if you really did, then you trust God that God does the saving. Because soon after I got saved, amen, I tell you, I thought I was lost as a goose. I mean, I did. I thought, I sinned, I blew it. It's over. And so you want to give them assurance of salvation right afterwards. Amen. And notice what it says. Eternal life is for how long? Forever. That's why it's called eternal. And you ask the person a question. If the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And if you go over to Romans 6:23, let's go over there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Ask them, how long is eternal? Romans 6 and verse 23. All right, who's got Romans 6, 23? Go ahead, Brother Aaron. Amen. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. How long is eternal? Just ask him that. It's forever. And you just quiz them. Can you do anything to lose it? If they start coming up with, well, the unpardonable sin, you ask them, what is it? Well, how are you going to commit something you don't even know what it is? Because most people don't even know. Well, what if I kill somebody? Well, you think about killing somebody? But anyway, if that doesn't work, take them over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. 4 and 5, as a matter of fact. First Peter 4 and 5. And who's there can read verse 4 and 5? First Peter, go ahead, Steve. Amen. So we're kept by who? The power of God. So if I'm kept by the power of God, is there any power greater than God? No. No. And I like what Titus says. Titus says it best. Go over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Let me go back a couple verses here. And notice what Titus says here, chapter 1, verse 2. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot what? Lie. Promised before the world began. So God promised eternal life before the world began, and he can't lie. So now if I'm kept by God's power and God cannot lie, guess what I am? I'm saved for all eternity. Amen. And so that is an assurance that you can give them right off the bat. You can't sin it away. You can't run away. You can't give it away. The devil can't take it away. You can't barter it away. You can't wish it away. It doesn't go away. It's eternal life. Yes, sir. And you're always going to have those. You're always going to have those. And you got to really just leave those to the Lord. I was reading an article one time. This guy led this person to the Lord, and he never saw him again. Went by there and tried and tried and tried. Never could get the guy out. And years later, found the guy. And he couldn't come back to the church for some unforeseen circumstances. Somebody wouldn't let him come back. But then the guy was called to preach. The guy was in the ministry. And the preacher was flabbergasted because he had never seen the guy after that. And we got to lead people like that to God. We continue to give out the gospel. We continue to lead them to the Lord. And if they do what they're going to do, you got to leave them to God. God is the one that keeps them and saves them. It's not our job. You know, our job is to go and try to teach them, try to baptize them, try to train them if we can, if they give us the time of day. If they don't, leave the results to God. That's the only thing we can do, brother. Pray for them and trust God to work. But yes. Yes, yes. About that. 5 years, everybody gave up on her. Amen. And you know, and the encouraging part about that, as Mrs. Dawson was saying, it took about 5 years. And her daughter came to church regularly on the bus. And finally, the mom did get saved after about 5 years and sold out. And her daughter, we thought was saved, but wasn't saved. And I led her to the Lord at a Bible camp 1 year. And to this day, we're talking 2017, she still sends $100, $105 check every now and again. Annette Parche, Brother Pastor White sees a check all the time to this church because I led her daughter to the Lord. It took 5 years, but guess what? She's still supporting this ministry because of her daughter getting saved at a camp years ago. I don't know how God does that. I don't know how God works. I just know that God blesses faithfulness. Amen. And Ms. Bennett never gave up on the gal, and she got saved. Amen. She's in North Carolina right now, Raleigh, North Carolina. And sends a check about every 3 months. She will get a check in the mail addressed to the church. Took 5 years, but guess what? She got saved. Hey, you know, when Brother Hall first came, I didn't think Brother Hall was going to pan out at first. He was busy trying to be a border patrol, learn Spanish. He never did come. Tamara would always come. But guess what? God spoke to his heart one day, and just like a light switch, poof, turned on. I look at him. Brother Givens, he was one thumping his wife in the head saying, God don't hear you praying. He got saved. He went back and got his sister saved who was here. Just, it's amazing how God does that. And they've been in one church for 20 years. All from a guy who thumped his wife in the head, who was on her knees praying for him to get saved. And he said, God don't hear you, thumped her. It's just amazing how God does it, amen. So assurance of salvation and eternal life is forever something good to give the new convert right off the bat, because I know for me, I caught myself getting saved over and over and over again for the first 6 months of my saved life. Amen. And guess what? I was no more saved the first, the second and third and fourth time than I was the first time. Amen. Pastor White, come on up and give us some closing announcements and close us in a word of prayer. And we're going to go ahead and be dismissed. And the children should be done. Brother Scott, you guys traveling back to Mexico?